You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is Moses at the Red Sea. My scripture is Exodus 14, 15 through 31. My text is Exodus 14, 21 through 22, which states, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Moses facing the Red Sea, though he was assured of a good issue to the present distress, yet did not neglect prayer. We read not of one word he said in prayer, but he lifted up to God his heart, the language which God well understood and took notice of. Moses' silent prayers of faith prevail more with God than Israel's loud cries of fear. Praying on the right kind is crying to God, which denotes it to be the language both of a natural and of a troublesome desire. God said to Moses in verse 15, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" What Moses must do himself. Moses had something else to do besides praying. He was to command the host of Israel, and it was now necessary that he should be at his post. Everything is beautiful in its season. What he must order Israel to do: speak to them that they go forward. Some think that Moses had prayed not so much for their deliverance, he was assured of that, as for the pardon of their murmurings, and that God's ordering them to go forward was an announcement of the pardon. There is no going forward without any comfort, but in the sense of our reconciliation to God. Moses had bidden them stand still and expect orders from God, and now orders are given. They thought they must have been directed either to the right hand or to the left. "No," says God, "speak to them to go forward, directly to the seaside, as if there had lain a fleet of transport ships ready for them to embark in. When we are in the way of our duty, though we meet with difficulties, we must go forward and not stand in silent astonishment. We must mind present work and then leave the event to God. Use means and trust him with the issue." What he might expect God to do: "Let the children of Israel go as far as they can upon dry ground, and then God will divide the sea and open a passage for them through it." God designs not only to deliver the Israelites, but to destroy the Egyptians, and the plan of his counsels is accordingly. He will show favor to Israel. The water shall be divided for them to pass through. The same power could have congealed the waters for them to pass over, but infinite wisdom chose rather to divide the waters for them to pass through. For that way of salvation is always pitched upon which is most humbling. Thus it is said, with reference to this, "He led them through the deep as a beast goes down into the valley, and thus made himself a glorious name. He will get him honor upon Pharaoh. If the due rent of honor be not paid to the great landlord, by and through whom we have and hold our beings and compass. He will seize by distress for it and recover it. God will be a loser by no man. In order to this, it is threatened. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. The man of expression is observable. I will do it. I that may do it. So it is the language of his sovereignty. We may not contribute to the hardening of any man's heart, not withhold anything that we can do towards the softening of it. But God's grace is his own. He had mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will be hardened. I that can do it. So it is the language of his power. None but the Almighty can make the heart soft. Job 23:16. Nor can any other being make it hard. I that will do it. For it is the language of his justice. It is a righteous thing with God to put those under the impressions of his wrath who have long resisted the influences of his grace. It is spoken in a way of triumph over this not easily subdued and overstepping due bounds rebel. I will take an effectual course to humble him. He shall break that would not bend. It is an expression like that. I will ease me of my adversaries. And God set upon Israel's camp, where it now lay most exposed, which was in the rear. The angel of God, whose ministry was made use of in the pillar of cloud and fire, went from before the camp of Israel, where they did not need a guide. There was no danger of missing their way through the sea. Nor needed they any other word of command than to go forward. For it came behind them, where now they needed a guard, the Egyptians being just ready to seize the hindmost of them. And so was a wall of partition between them. There it was of use to the Israelites, not only to protect them, but to light them through the sea. At the same time, it confounded the Egyptians so that they lost sight of their prey just when they were ready to lay hands on it. The word and providence of God have a black and dark side to a sin and sinners, but a bright and pleasant side to those that are Israelites indeed. That which is a savor of life unto life to some is a savor of death unto death to others. This was not the first time that he who in the beginning divided between light and darkness, Genesis 1:4, and still forms both, had at the same time allotted darkness to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites, a specimen of the endless distinction which will be made between the inheritance of the saints and light and the utter darkness which forever will be the portion of hypocrites. God will separate between the precious and the vile. We have here the history of that work of wonder, which is so often mentioned both in the Old and New Testament, the dividing of the Red Sea before the children of Israel. It was the terror of the Canaanites, the praise and triumph of the Israelites. It was a type of baptism. Israel's passage through it was typical of the conversion of souls, and the Egyptians' utter destruction in it was typical of the final ruin and of all non-repentant sinners. An instance of God's almighty power in the kingdom of nature in dividing the Red Sea. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. And thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is Blessed Assurance. Our feelings and emotions are important. However, sometimes our feelings don't align with God's truth. In those cases, you have to remember that you are not saved by your feelings. You are saved by Christ. Feelings come and go, but Christ remains forever. The enemy will attempt to arouse your feelings and make things complicated, but it's actually very simple. Satan is incapable of telling the truth, and God is unable to lie. In times of doubt, examine the facts of what God says on the matter. The fact that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. The fact that if you have committed your life to him, he has promised to forgive you and save you. In 1 John 5:11, it is written that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. That is God's promise to you, and he cannot lie. Your feelings will lie to you, and Satan may even use them to convince you that God has abandoned you or that you have lost your salvation. But remember, there is no truth in Satan. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. However, it is great to know that our faith is based on God's truth and not our feelings. One of my favorite hymns is Blessed Assurance. The lyrics for the first two verses say, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love." At this point, some of you may be thinking, I don't really feel assured and lost in his love. You may sense that you don't have a close relationship with God. You probably heard that Jesus came to save you from your sin, but you're not sure how it works. Well, if that's the case, I've got good news for you. Realize that all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loves you and gives you the opportunity to come to him, acknowledge your sin, and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Will you respond to his call? Will you believe and receive? Believe Christ died for you and by faith receive him into your life? Remember, God gave his son Jesus, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he arose that you may have everlasting life. So put God first. Pray, trust, and obey his word. Until next time, my beloved, stay encouraged by knowing that God loves you. And when God is in it, there is no limit. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
In this obsession with the things this world says make us happy, can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding.